Dr. Kerry Johnson. Kerry is a former professional tennis player. He toured worldwide in the late 70s on the international tennis circuit. Now, he says he left the tour because of illness and fatigue. That is, the fans were sick and tired of him. But Kerry writes a monthly for over 15 sales and management magazines in the areas of reading customers' thoughts, how to develop trust, and subliminal seduction in advertising. He was on the adjunct faculty at Purdue University and is the author of 5 books, including this outstanding book that I have read called Mastering the Game, The Human Edge in Sales and Marketing. Kerry also publishes The Winning Edge, and I just happen to have a copy of that as well that I've glanced through, one of America's best read customer service newsletters. He gained experience and discovered rejection as a smiling and dialing stockbroker. Recognized by the U.S. Junior Chamber of Commerce as one of the most outstanding young men in America.
Dynamic, motivating, charismatic, commanding. These are the words audiences use to describe Dr. Kerry Johnson.
How to reach your clients, how to understand what they're thinking, how to get inside their heads. Do you realize when you're on the telephone, you're only gleaning about 35% of the overall meaning in a conversation? You buy that? That means unless you're eyeball to eyeball with these people, that means belly button to belly with prospects, toenail to toenail with clients, that means you're missing about 65% of the meat of that conversation. And even a sharp college boy like me, who is senior class president 2 years in a row, knows unless you're face-to-face at the right time, you're missing too much in this business. Here are 3 benefits you are going to get before 9:30 comes. Number 1, how to literally and absolutely reach these prospects' minds anytime you want to from today on. Number 2, how to use some of the really current research from subliminal seduction in advertising. How to use it to start magnetizing your prospects. And number 3, more importantly, how to say the right thing to the right prospect at the right time. Are you interested so far? Oh, I hope so. Before we start this program, I've actually done a lot of research on y'all, and it finally hit me circling Brisbane, Australia last Thursday night on my way to Tokyo, a psychological technique that will determine whether or not you're going to make it big time or you're going to be delivering mail for the Postal Service, and I'd like to find out who the real tip-top of the producers are. Ready for this? It's kind of a psychosocial technique. When I say go, I want you to put your arms up just like this and then cross your fingers. Ready? On your mark. Get set. See, this guy doesn't want to do it. What are you, a Democrat? Get those hands up. Come on, let's go, buddy. Come on, get those hands up. Let's go. Come on. Up, get you. There you are. Ready? On your mark. Get set. Go. Now look down and see which thumb is on top. Would you please? Which thumb? Right thumb? Left thumb? Which one is it? If you have your left thumb on top, I want you to look at that sucker just like this. Would you please? My good friend, Harvard psychology professor, Dr. Fingertip Farquhar says, if your left thumb is on top, he says, this means you're sexy. Stand up, would you please? Stand up, actually, come on. Face that way, would you please? I don't know if you all saw this, but I saw Terry switch thumbs. Is that okay? Any both thumb people here? Both thumbs together? Yeah, well, there you go. Farquhar, this means you're a great thinker. You look pretty sharp, by the way, back there. And how many of you have your right thumb on top? What's on the two, please? Farquhar says if your right thumb is on top, this means you think you're sexy, basically.
Dr. Kerry Johnson's credentials are as impressive as his message. As a past professional tennis player, he was involved in intense tournament competition. As a psychological researcher and consultant, he brings new competitive ideas strengthened with real-life application.
83% of consumer goods in America are purchased by women. 83%. 68% of all cars in America are purchased by women. How come Lindsay Wagner and Sybil Shepherd do car commercials? Because more women buy cars than men do. 59% of all mutual funds in America are purchased by women. You want to hear the shocker? 56% of all residential properties in America are purchased by women. And that's not the part I want you to write down. What they influence is 20 points higher than what they saw the dotted line on. And if you didn't know that, when's the last time you had a couple in your office and you said to the guy who you thought had all the money, what do you think about this? As soon as you say that, his wife, he said to his wife, I don't know.
What do you think about that, honey? And the amazing thing is, most of you males have absolutely no idea even how to communicate with women, let alone know how to sell to them. Am I right or wrong about this woman? Give me some backup here. Is that a yes or no on this one? Would you believe, gentlemen, Deborah Tanner's research, Johns Hopkins University, has now determined that most of you men think of your wives as your best friends. Is that right, gentlemen? And Bill, you're darn proud of it, aren't you? Darn proud of it. Would you also believe, gentlemen, your wives do not think the same of you? It's hard to believe, isn't it? Just hard to believe. Oh, you want some proof, do you? Okay, here it comes. If you're male and married, raise your hand right now. Male and married. Come on, this has got to be a full participation program. Male and married. Okay, now put them down. Now watch what happens. Look around each other. If you think of your wife as your best friend, raise it again. Look, more hands went up the second time than the first time. A lot of ex-wives are best friends of these guys. I don't know what that means. Okay, now here's an important part. Ready? If you're female and married, raise your hand right now, please. Female and married. There's absolutely no purpose of the question except that David here wanted to know who the single women were. There you go, buddy. This is a little... I'm trying to help you here, okay? Yeah. Okay, it's going to get tough for you. It's going to get hard. One more time, women. Raise your hand again if you think of your husband as, not just on the weekends, not only brings you flowers, but he's always, always, always your best friend. Okay, ma'am, freeze right there. Don't even blink. No, put your hand right back where it was. Right back, no, put it right back, right there. Can you get a picture of this lady right here? No, you put her right, leave that right there. Can you get a picture of her on the camera? There she is. Whenever you see a woman with her hand halfway up, that means she's sitting next to her husband. That's what this... Are you married to her? Is that your wife? Is that... Oh, yeah, see? Women, gentlemen, this is for you. Women communicate intimacy and rapport. Women, this is for you. Males communicate status and power. Gentlemen, when a woman communicates, she communicates to get a connection. She communicates to let you know what she's thinking about, what she's going through. When a woman talks to you, she wants empathy, sometimes sympathy, but she wants you to be there for her no matter when she chooses to talk, no matter what she chooses to talk about. Am I right or wrong about this woman? What do you think? Is that a yes or no on this one? This is why women go to bathrooms in platoons. Stand up here for a second, would you please? Catherine, I got a question for you. Stand up over here. My daughter's name is Catherine, too, by the way. And she has a C, but you have a... Here's a question for you, okay? I've actually heard... Can you get a picture of Catherine here? This is like the representative sample of all the women in the room. Okay. No, you just... I've actually heard that women talk in bathrooms. Is that true? Serious?
I think so.
Yeah? You've heard that before, women talking... See, men don't do that, do we, guys? If a man talks to the bathroom, the other man will walk out. Don't go in there. There's a guy talking. Gentlemen, I want you right now, please, to look at the male sitting next to you and ask if you'd like to go to the bathroom with you during the next break. There are three things that women hate most in dealing with a male realtor. Three things a woman cannot stand. You make the mistake once, she'll correct you. Make it a second time, she'll do what I call a BBD. She'll go to a bigger, better deal. Now, I got to tell you, this is really serious stuff. Women, you got to help me out with this because I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm a guy, I will never know. So you clap or boo, whatever. If you think it's not true, just say no to me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But give me some backup, which these guys need to know if it's true or not. Number one, you men give women advice when they never ask for it in the first place. Woman, is that true or not? Yes or no? Number two, you men interrupt women while they're talking. How about that? Is that true or not? What do you think? Isn't number three the worst, though? I mean, really. Even though men look like it, they really don't listen when women talk. What do you think? Is that true? What do you think about this? Well, maybe I'm being too tough on the guys right now. How many of you men think you're awfully darn good listeners? Would you raise your hand, gentlemen, please? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair. In that case, gentlemen, think of the last time you had a conversation with a woman in the middle of the conversation, you heard a pause and thought, uh-oh, I've just been asked a question. The problem is, gentlemen, women don't like to bite from you. And I hate to tell you this, but someone has to say it. Women do not like to bite from you because of two reasons. Number one, three reasons. You don't look like you're listening. You don't sound like you're listening. You don't act like you're listening. When women really listen, they do two things that men don't have a clue about. Number one, they make listening noises. Am I right about this? This has got like a trade secret here. Can I tell about this stuff, women? Can I say this? Number two, they make listening movements. When women really listen, here's what they do. I would have slapped the guy. Yeah, please. Hello? Yeah. That is so disgusting. No. We should talk tomorrow. Yeah. He didn't. Are you serious? Oh, that is so... I can't believe it. Here's how men listen. By the way, for those of you just curious as to whether or not there are real differences between males and females, this pretty much sums it up. That's pretty much it, isn't it? Yeah, that's it.
Yesterday, we had a fantastic seminar with Dr. Kerry Johnson. We had over 300 people in the room, the most we've ever had. People were standing outside the door. They couldn't get in. They were just very enthusiastic, and the information was fantastic that he gave. He really gave a lot of interpersonal skills that you can use in your business. He helped you with how to sell better to your customers, and just in general, everybody left with an upbeat feeling, but they learned an awful lot in the 1 hour that we had him, and we're definitely going to have him back.
His unique speaking style incorporates group participation, humor, and dazzling graphics that rivet the audience's attention.
I've been talking about trust for the last hour. Trust is the most important thing that you do, but wait, how many of you, show of hands, know exactly, pragmatically, step by step, with every prospect, every client you meet, everything you see, exactly, you know, how to get trust. Now, am I speaking a different language here? Are you hearing Swahili come in my mouth right now? The most important thing that you do, are you saying to me right now that you don't know how to do it? Is that what you're saying? Boy, you came to the right place. Dennis Renner. Newport Beach, California, bless his heart. Dennis Renner did $2.8 million in commissions, first year insurance commissions last year. He's had a tough year. Called me at the office and said, I'm having a real tough time right now. The last 12 months have been just disastrous for me. Recession has really, really hit me. I said, Dennis, how much did you do? He said, I didn't grow by 25%. I said, Dennis, how much did you do? He said, $2.78 million in commissions. I got that tough. I said, Dennis, most people aren't doing quite that well. How come you're so successful all the time? He said, Kerry, I dance with my prospects. You do what? He said, I move like they move. Are you serious? He said, Kerry, if that prospect sits to the side, I sit to the side. That prospect leans back, I lean back. That guy goes forward, I sit forward. We're shadow boxing all the time like this guy. Rubber bands. You know. People mirror people they trust. Have you noticed? They avoid people they happen to distrust. Prove it to you. Last night, I was there. Judy Collins was fabulous. But you know, it was funny. Those of you who are sitting at a table next to someone you enjoyed, your arm was up on the table. Guess where their arm was? It was up on the table. Your legs were crossed. People you really like at this meeting, guess what their legs are doing? People mirror people they trust. They avoid people they happen to distrust. Am I right? I want you to watch what Bob Bramlin and I do. I want you to listen. Don't listen to what we say. Just watch us, please. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Gary.
Now, when was it we played at the Shangri-La in Oklahoma?
5 years ago.
Was that the Young Ages meeting?
Yes.
That's neat. Now, you're no longer involved in that, are you?
No, I'm not.
Who's picking speakers now for this next couple? Because you were so good at it. You were a fabulous host.
Jeff Jalone is doing that now.
Jeff Jalone?
Yeah.
That's neat. Now, how many attendees do you have there now these days when you have a meeting?
About 115.
Do you really? That's great. Do you always take your golfers or your speakers golfing?
Sure.
Do you?
Sure. I'd like to show them a good time.
Oh, I had a great time, too. You just drove the crap out of that ball, too. I mean, you were a great golfer.
Thank you.
Yeah. But you play a lot, don't you? You play like every 2 or 3 days?
Oh, I've played every day since I've been here.
Yeah.
I thought you did, yeah. Give him a hand on that, would you, please?
My name is Jonathan Weaver, president of Peak Performers Toronto. We put on live seminars, and Kerry was one of the best investments we've ever made. We look forward to seeing him again, and if that's any indication of a fear you might be having about looking bad, choosing your speaker, Kerry's the right choice.
Selected by the USJCs as one of the most outstanding young men in America, Kerry teaches that the difference between success and mediocrity is small. But he helps his audiences gain and maintain that winning edge with people.
Hi, this is Dr. Kerry Johnson. I've been speaking at conventions and conferences for more than 25 years. During that time, I've noticed that great speakers do three things. First, they entertain the audience. Next, they communicate great content the attendees can use right away. Great speakers are also able to get the group to participate in the program. If you decide to use me as your next speaker, I'll keep the group laughing throughout the meeting. Research at San Diego State University has shown that we remember 83% more when we're laughing. I will also give them ideas and concepts they can use right away. My goal is for the members of your group to apply what they hear immediately to improve their business. But I also want the audience to participate in the program. I want them to be physically involved every 5 to 8 minutes. This will keep them focused during the whole message. You will see each of these points throughout this demo video. A great speaker also knows the audience. I want the attendees to wonder how long I've been in their business. Most importantly, I want to make you look good as the meeting planner. So whether your group is 40 or 4,000, I will tailor my message to fit your group. I look forward to being a guest speaker at your next meeting.
Would you like your prospects from today on to retain 300% more of what you say to them in one half the time? Better yet, would you like to increase your closing rate, or the rate people say yes to you, to go from maybe a 25% closing rate to 90% in exactly 3 minutes? Would that help you all? Well, let me grab somebody from the group. Well, come up here, would you please, Russell? You look pretty victimized already. Come up here, would you please, buddy? I want you to go on stage with me, Russell. I just want this group to get a good look at you. Yeah. Stand here, Russell, would you please? Yeah, face that way, buddy. What a sharp-looking guy. Really dressed up for the meeting, huh, Russell? Yeah. Yeah, look at Russell real carefully. He's doing what I call the fig leaf position. Can you see him up here? I would do something different right now, by the way, if I were just going to like this maybe or... Yeah, anyway. Yeah, there you go. I'm teasing him really hard, but he's a sharp-looking guy. Don't you think so? Yes. I do. A couple of years ago, Russell, two researchers, University of Minneapolis, Minnesota, did a project, Russell, in which they took a quarter like this, put that quarter into a telephone booth on a ledge next to a phone, walked out of the phone booth, and then hid behind a tree. Now, raise your hand if you would not pick up a quarter lying by itself in an empty phone booth. Would not! Raise your hand, please. Time's real tough for you realtors this year, huh? But you know, a guy like Russell Wood, though, does he look like a culprit up here to you so far? Kind of guy that take a quarter out of a phone booth. Does he look like that to you? Yeah, he would take the whole phone booth, wouldn't he? Culprit, walk in the phone booth, walk out with a quarter. Researcher should walk up to the culprit and say, did you happen to see my quarter in there? I need to make another phone call. Did you see my quarter in that phone booth?
I've never seen that quarter before.
Did I pick the right guy for this? The amazing thing is he's right. Only 23% of the cases did the culprit give the quarter back to the researcher. This is nuts, huh? 23%. On the other hand, these researchers, real bright guys, did something just a little bit different. Replaced the quarter in the phone booth, left it there, walked out, hid behind another tree. But this time, touched that culprit below the elbow for not longer than 3 seconds and said almost the same thing. Sir, do you happen to see my quarter in there? I make another phone call. Did you see my quarter in that phone booth? Did you... Say, yes, Russell. You know, they didn't grab him like I did, but they didn't touch him very lightly on the arm. In the majority of the cases, these culprits would literally reach in their pockets and say, son of a gun, is this your quarter? I was just looking for someone to give it back to. Tough question coming up. Raise your hand if, in the last 24 hours, did you, without thinking about it, completely unconsciously just happen to touch somebody on the side of the arm, to grab their attention, reinforce a comment, or underline a key point you could not afford that person to forget? How many did that without thinking? Would you raise your hand, please? This works extremely well for you single people, doesn't it? Do you know how long they retain that kind of stuff? If you like it, we're touching them at the time you talk about it. Number two, better yet, how quickly they'll say yes if when you close, you touch them on the arm and say what you need to say to get them to do what they need to do. Tom O'Brien wrote me letters to care. I just made $35,000 of commissions in my pocket in one day using this technique. I couldn't believe it. I called him back on the phone and said, Tom, you made that much money in one day? He said, well, took me 9 months to get that one day, but it was one day. Hey, that's a pretty good point, isn't it? Have you dealt with people before who have given you zip business and have stretched it over maybe a year's worth of time? And you, by the way, that will happen. You know it's going to happen next year, the year after. He said, Kerry, I don't know what to deal with this. I don't know how to do this. And I said, I know one thing. I heard you speak. I took that relocation business owner out to Little Shoney's restaurant next to his office. He said, reached over the table, got on my elbow with salad dressing, touched the guy on the arm, and I said, I recommend we do this now. True story. Within 10 seconds, the prospect, who would not give Tom a time a day, took a pen out and said, do you guys need a deposit or something for this? Hey, let's get honest about this business, real honest. University of Connecticut has now shown that your clients who make more than $100,000 a year, we call these affluent investors, would rather do business with you face-to-face than anything over the internet. Do you realize that they consider their relationship with you so important? They don't want a discount. They don't want back deals. They want you. How many think your people skills right now are the most important skills you've got? Am I right or wrong about this? We are now teaching this technique to waiters and waitresses in restaurants all across America in an effort to get you to eat more dessert and give them higher tips. Would you like to hear about this? We're teaching these people now to walk up to you while you're eating, grab you on the arm, and say things like, I've really enjoyed serving you. Please come back soon. Let me give you a short story in closing. I happen to be raised by an old Irish grandfather. He used to tuck me in at night. They say things like, Carrie Antella, wake up in the morning. I hope the rain falls gently on your fields. I hope the wind blows against your back. And I hope until I wake you up, I hope the Lord holds you in the hollow of his hand. I love that guy a ton. When I was 13 years old, my grandfather died in the same house I woke up in that morning. My grandmother came down the staircase. She said, Carrie, one of the last things your grandfather said is tell Carrie we're pulling for him. Have you noticed after a couple of years in this business, the relationships you build becomes more important than the cash? Have you noticed? You want to hear the kicker? The more you feel that way, the more money you make. I'm not going to tell you the only reason I'm here, but I will tell you the biggest reason I'm here. I care about you. I'm pulling for you, and so does Remax. You are the best. You deserve more business. Please use this. Thank you.
The rave reviews, the rapt attention, and the repeat engagements have made Kerry Johnson a sought-after speaker throughout the world. Call now to book Dr. Kerry Johnson for your next meeting.